and, between the two, they leave little room for anything but coffee, and occasionally shaving my legs, and shopping online late at night when my brain won't rest, but coffee is definitely the all-star. Jesus, did I just think all-star? One night at the Alpha House has resulted in my using jock lingo. I think I have a jock over, I mutter at my notebook, sitting at my desk, which is pushed against the foot of the bed just like Elle's. You got drunk? Elle drops her red backpack and plops onto her orange bed. No, but I spent so much time listening to Alphas talk about the game, dude, I say in a deep, dopey voice, that it gave me a headache. And what about Hunter? Any luck? Nope, and I'm at a complete loss. Basically, he ignored me all night, though I did catch him giving me side glances every time I spoke to one of his frat brothers. It was like he couldn't help keeping an eye on me, but at the same time, he didn't look worried one bit. The weird part was that I saw girls hitting on him all night, but he wouldn't give them the time of day. He stuck to his beer and playing pool. Elle wiggles her puckered lips from side to side. Maybe he's not into girls. I give that some thought. Not likely. I mean, it's possible, but he literally whored his way through high school. Leave no pussy untouched. That was Hunter's and his friend's lame-ass motto. So he's probably not gay, and he showed no interest in you or any other girl. She scratches the side of her head. Maybe he's in love. What? I whip up my head, but my heart tumbles onto the floor and twitches in agony. It can't be. It can't be, yet... Oh my God. Maybe you're right. It's the only explanation that fits. I hang my head. I'm screwed. Yet it somehow bothers me more that Hunter has found love. Well, I don't really know why. I suppose because he doesn't deserve it. Not when he ruined my social life and any chances of experiencing romance during my teen years. No guy would dare come near me, besides B.O. Jeremy, for fear of being picked on too. Nerd by association. I haven't even been kissed. Not once. And it's worse than that movie. Well, says Elle, grabbing her backpack and fishing through its contents. I don't think you would have succeeded anyway. He already knows you're smart, and he's not into smart girls. None of those guys are. I bob my head. You're probably right. It was silly to think I could put on an act and convince Hunter that I'm some airhead bimbo. He knows me too well, and despite my hate for him, he's not that stupid. I tutored him enough times to know he has a brain, but chooses to use it sparingly. He had no issue understanding algebraic formulas when he focused hard. That's what always baffled me. He could have done better. He could have had good grades. But he chose to act like a dumb jock simply to fit in. Well, I sigh. At least I learned what that big scene at the library was all about. Elle pauses the search at the bottom of her backpack. And? I heard a bunch of the guys talking about some stupid scavenger hunt they have going for Rush Week. The guys with the top 20 points get in. Seriously? Yep. I snuck upstairs and found the scoreboard in one of the bedrooms. Did you know that breaking into the tri-cap house and stealing their calculators was only worth 2 points? Seems so little when they could have gotten arrested. What morons? How much was sleeping with you worth? Oh, that. It was worth 10 points, but the task was to get me to agree. Well, not me, exactly. It was, get green light from Virgin, witnesses required, penetration optional. Can you believe that? I shake my head. So disgusting. Elle shrugs like she's simply not surprised. I suppose I'm not either. The irony is that Hunter is 20 points away from the top 20, I add. Looks like he's not getting in. Seems like a nice way to blackmail him, she mumbles absentmindedly, pulling out a pack of gum. Wait, what did you say? What? She opens the little box and holds it out, offering a piece. No thanks. Clashes with my coffee. I flash a quick smile. Can you repeat that part about the blackmail? Oh, that. Well, not that I advocate cheating, But if you were the cheating sort, it would only make sense for the two of you to enter into secret squirrel. That's military lingo for an agreement on the down low. Spy stuff. I lift a brow. Oh, I've been reading spy novels lately. I like guessing the endings. You have time to read? Because I don't. I barely have enough time to sleep. Sure, can't spend your whole day studying. I growl at her. Must suck to be so smart. It does, actually. Nothing makes you feel lonelier than knowing only a handful of people on the planet have the capacity to understand you completely. Because everyone else is too dumb? I ask. She nods. Ouch. Exactly how smart are you? 160. Seriously? I'm a dunce compared to her, and I scored 141 last time I checked. That's near genius, but not quite. Which reminds me, I should get tested again. For me, IQ tests are kind of like checking my credit score. Gotta do it at least once a year to remind me that I'm sexy in my own brainy kind of way. Sort of like when a hot girl looks in the mirror and says, "Yeah, I'm prettier than the rest. That's why everyone hates me." Of course, IQ is not the same as being educated. IQ measures the ability to learn, comprehend, and problem solve. Education is the process of acquiring knowledge. These are two separate things, although not entirely unrelated. For example, a person with a superior IQ learns at a faster pace, thus can acquire knowledge faster. However, a person with a superior education can easily outsmart someone with a genius IQ who's lacking knowledge. Okay, I'm rambling. My apologies. I inhale deeply. Not to insult you, my genius goddess, but if you're a 160, why are you here? She pops a piece of gum in her mouth and chews. You're smart too. You tell me. I like puzzles, so I take a moment to figure it out. You're secretly working with the CIA, studying the common folk, and coming up with a weapon of mass destruction? Yes. She gives her index finger a shake. I'm an evil genius. Okay, smarty pants. Why are you here? Honestly, I didn't want to be far from home. My parents are only a 2-hour drive away. That's so sweet. Her expression wilts into something melancholy. My mother has an inoperable brain tumor. My sister is only 10 minutes from their house, but I want to spend as much time as I can at home. Oh, no. So this is why Elle said she'd be staying at her parents' on weekends. And it breaks my heart to hear it. I literally want to cry. I cannot stand thinking of losing anyone, let alone watching my mother die. I'm sorry, Elle. Are you okay? Meh. As good as can be expected. But that's why I wanted to room with you. I read your bio on the roommate finder site. My bio said that my one goal was to eradicate cancer. And I meant it. I can't imagine doing anything else with my life. And maybe it's because I grew up listening to all the painful stories from my mother. People she couldn't help. Families destroyed. All I know is that it feels like a war, and I want to fight. I'm sorry that your mom is sick, I say quietly. I wish I were smarter and could build a time machine to the future, because I know we'll find a cure. I flash a comforting smile, wanting to relieve her pain in some small way, but no, I can't. She smiles sadly and takes a deep breath. If there's anything I can do to help you, I say, anything at all, just ask. Thank you. But you know what I'd really like? She smiles pensively. What? Food. Elle pops up from her bed and heads for the door. Gotta get to the cafeteria before they close for lunch. She's gone before I can offer to go with her, but it's probably for the best. She seems to want to be alone right now, and I'm guessing it's because that wasn't easy for her to open up, which I completely understand. Sharing private, emotional things makes me uncomfortable, too. I don't like feeling vulnerable. I don't like telling people things they can use to hurt me. Of course, this makes acquiring new friends a little difficult, but I've managed. I simply need a lot of time to warm up to people and trust them. As I'm left sitting there with my thoughts, I look down at my notes and shake my head. Hunter is in love. The thought makes my stomach twist with uneasy emotions. It makes no sense that this would bother me so much. Well, other than the fact that if he's in love, he's not going to play ball with me and I'm not getting into the tri-caps. But this sensation in my gut feels bigger. It feels like anger. All right, calm down. Maybe Elle is wrong. Hunter isn't boyfriend material. He can't even be loyal to one brand of beer. I know because I saw him drinking 3 different kinds last night. Philanderer. So could something else be going on with him? My mind flashes back through that last year of high school when he seemed so different. Still part of his social circle and playing football, but lacking his exuberant display of douchebaggery. Come to think of it, I can't recall him dating anyone either. There's only one way to find out for certain what's going on with Hunter. I'm going to go see him and ask. Simple. Logical. It's the most efficient course of action, and I'm on the clock. Chapter 6. Dressed in cutoffs and a white t-shirt, I ring the doorbell at the Alpha House, ready to cut to the chase. The door swings open, and out pops a giant head. It's Henry, the enormous tree trunk from last night. Actually, now that I'm seeing him in the daylight, he sort of looks like a really big version of Liam Hemsworth, but with green eyes. Hi, I'm here to see Hunter. He yawns and sniffles.
He's not here. Did you check his dorm?
You sound like you have a cold. I step back.
Hangover.
Hydration, hydration, hydration prevents your liver and bile production from frustration. He gives me a look. Oops, I've let my geek out of the box again. I checked the dorms, but his roommate says he's always here.
Hey, I recognize you from last night. You were that way stoned chick in the short skirt.
No, you were drunk, as you've pointed out, which only made it seem as though I was under the influence. By the way, you know it's ridiculous to call yourself an athlete and be so unhealthy, right? Sooner or later, your bad habits will turn into addiction, and then you'll just be another statistic, sitting in a secondhand lazy boy, wearing a wife beater, reminiscing about the good old days, and wondering why you have to always choose between a case of Pabst or fixing your crappy car so you can collect your unemployment check.
You're still high, aren't you? Because I can't understand what you're saying.
No, of course you don't, you dumb jock. Yes, I'm flying, I say to appease him and get on with the conversation.
Thought so, man.
And Hunter? Any idea where he'd be? I ask.
Try the football stadium. He's probably at practice.
Thanks, Henry. I turn to leave.
Wait, you're also the virgin from the library.
Hunter chuckles and yells over his shoulder.
Hey, guys, look who's here for Hunter, the virgin.
Oh, Lord. I hang my head and scurry the hell out of there, but I can hear screaming inside the house, something about getting the marker ready for some 10-point action. Jesus, I hate jocks. Thankful for having worn my comfy, pink, low-top Converse, I head back to the campus 5 blocks away. It's late in the afternoon, and the sticky heat makes my curls go wild. I give them a quick finger comb, deciding it's better to embrace the beast rather than fight it. Normally, I wear it in a ponytail or braid or something to keep it caged. As I hit the campus, it's relatively quiet at first, not unusual for a Sunday. But the moment I'm within earshot of the stadium, I hear cheering. Strange. There aren't any games today. I'm sure of it. Otherwise, there'd be thousands of fans crowding sidewalks and clogging the streets. I enter the stadium through the side gate that leads straight to the bleachers. Immediately, I notice the cheerleading squad sitting down on the edge of the field, watching the team practice. All eyes seem to be on Hunter, or maybe it's just my imagination. After all, he does have the ball. I watch as he makes a pass, but the cheerleaders, Gamma News, continue staring at him. Nope, they're definitely watching Hunter. The guy has his own freaking personal harem to cheer him on during practice. For a moment, I'm kind of jealous. I mean, not because I want him. No, no, that's ridiculous. It's because, well, obviously I'm jealous of his harem. Who wouldn't want one? Mine would be cheering while I crank through chemistry formulations, and they'd be dudes. Hot dudes in khakis and polos, because that's how I like 'em. Built and preppy. Down on the field, the coach blows the whistle and the players stop running around like uniformly dressed chickens. I don't like sports, so I know virtually nada about the rules. I just know the coach looks unhappy because he's making Hunter repeat the play.
"Hey, Hunt, don't worry, we still love you," screams one of the girls,
a blonde sitting toward the middle of the pack of about 20 women. Hunter seems focused on the ball and ignores her, but that doesn't deter her or the others from whistling or catcalling. How rude. He's not a piece of meat. He's a human being. Wait, what? I practically slap myself for having such a compassionate thought for the guy who's cost me so damned much that my life has been irrevocably damaged. Okay, yes. I know that I am partly to blame for allowing him to get to me, but I'm not Superwoman. I'm not impervious to public humiliation or ridicule. And considering what he put me through, I think I fared as well as anyone might. He never saw me sweat. I never gave him attention or took him seriously. Not really. Not as far as the world was concerned. My friends, parents, and teachers never suspected that underneath my cool and indifferent exterior was a lot of pain. I sometimes wondered if even Hunter knew. Of course he did. How could he not? Asshole.
"Hey, Hunter, show us those moves, baby," screams another girl.
Hunter looks over at her and winks. He even flashes a little dimple. Oh, yeah. Aren't you Mr. Charming with your ridiculous little fan club? The players break into two groups and face each other to do that whole lining up and bending over thing. Just as a guy in the middle passes the football to Hunter, and Hunter is poised to throw, a surge of bitterness overtakes me. I stand up and scream,
"Hey, shrimp dick! How about not missing this time?"
The ball hurtles right into his fan club, because Hunter is not looking where he's throwing. He's looking at me, snarling. The coach blows the whistle and everyone turns to glare in my direction. Uh-oh. I smile awkwardly and make a little pump with my fist.
"Go, Pirates?"
"You! Out!" screams the coach.
I held up my hands in the I surrender position and turn to leave before I get mobbed. I can't believe I did that. I stop. Wait. I can't believe I just did that. It felt so damned good. Like, amazing. I smile and head down the bleachers, making my way to the gate.
"Hey, Tassie!"
an angry voice calls from behind me. I freeze, knowing I'm about to get an earful, but I realize that I don't really care. For the first time, I'm not the one taking the hit and sucking it up. It feels fantastic. I turn slowly and watch Hunter jogging toward me, removing his helmet.
"Hey, Hunter," I say in a sugary sweet voice.
"What the fuck was that?"
He stops 2 feet in front of me, frothing at the mouth. I shrug. It's called payback. You like it? Because I've got more. In fact, I'm thinking from now on, I'll be at every game.
What's the matter with you?
Are you in love?
Huh. Strange. I wasn't expecting that question to come out. And I certainly don't know why I added the bitter tinge to my voice, making it sound like I'm accusing him of cheating on me. He stares for a long moment.
"What's going on with you, Tass? This is my fucking practice. You can't show up here and pull this shit."
"Oh, no. Am I bothering you?" I say in a snide tone.
"Yes, and you should go now."
"I was going. You're the one who came after me."
Then don't come back,"
he says, all flustered, and I realize that I'm thoroughly enjoying being the aggressor for once. I like not being his doorstop, and I want more.
"Oh, I will."
I smile and turn to continue on my way. You're my jock now, Hunter. Better get used to it, I call out over my shoulder. I can feel his blue eyes burning into the back of my head as I walk away. Damn, I love this. Chapter 7. Okay, Elle, new plan. I burst into our dorm room, feeling like the universe has offered me a new lease on life. It has never occurred to me to take action or revenge, but now that I realize Hunter, the celebrity star quarterback, is vulnerable, I can't wait to give him just a little taste of his own medicine. Just a little. Elle pulls her earbuds out. Sorry? My new plan. Relentless heckling. She crinkles her nose. Did I miss the bus? Because you've obviously gone somewhere without me. I close the door and plop down on my bed. Did you know that Hunter bullied me for 13 years? Really? I nod. Yes. Why did you put up with it? I guess. I shrug. I think because letting him know he got to me would feel like letting him win. Once again, I'll point out that I'd rather look like an ass than lose. So I ignored him, which only made him try harder, or I would smile and tell him how ridiculously stupid he was. That usually pissed him off and provoked more incidents. Still, 13 years? I swipe my hand through the air. I'm over it, but it's dawned on me that Hunter has never been an outcast or ridiculed. Ear point. I'm going to let him know that no bad deed goes unpunished. Elle cocks her head. Explain how this will allow you to win the bet with Lainey and Jessica to make him your boyfriend. It won't. Or maybe it will. He'll be begging for mercy and do anything I say after I make up a bunch of shrimp signs and pass them out at the next game. I'll tell everyone it's to intimidate the rivals, but Hunter will see them and unravel. It will completely mess with his head. You're serious? As a heart attack? On a cruise ship that's forgotten to stock aspirin and defibrillators. Have you always been this crazy, or have you only just recently lost your mind? She thinks I'm crazy. But that's only because she doesn't know. I cross my arms over my chest. What if I told you that he once had the entire school wear white t-shirts to honor my virginity? That's pretty mean. Just the tip of the iceberg. But I think his most memorable prank was when he had everyone write me in as homecoming queen. What? Why? He thought it would be hysterical to see me put on a frou-frou dress and ride in the town parade. Hunter planned to make me sit next to him and humiliate me, or something like that. So, you were homecoming queen? She asks, her eyes going wide like saucers. I rejected the title. I'm sorry, Elle blinks, but can you go over that part again? Hunter persuaded everyone to vote for you, so you would be homecoming queen. Yes. And was he voted homecoming king? Yeah, so? She tilts her head to one side. Is he a psychopath? Not that I'm aware of. Brain damaged in any way? She asks. Of course. Seriously. She gives me a look. Okay, no, he's not suffering from any brain damage that I'm aware of. Does he practice sadism or satanic rituals, or is he a super fan of the movie Carrie? No, where are you going with this? I ask. I like a mystery. It's my thing, and I'm very proficient at guessing underlying motives and, therefore, the ending. She inhales deeply. Don't you find it a tad peculiar that a non-sadist, non-brain-damaged, non-psycho, non-Carrie fan would go to such lengths and make you homecoming queen just to harm you? Not when it comes to Hunter. He's cruel. He once held me down in the 4th grade, gave me a noogie, and then spit a giant wad of gum in my hair. It took 2 jars of peanut butter to get it out. Ah, but did you see him lavish his cruel attentions on anyone else in such a manner? She asks. No, Sherlock Holmes, but I don't see how that matters. She shakes her head. What's the first rule of kindergarten? When a boy teases a girl, it means he... I frown. Now you're off your rocker. He does not like me.
I beg to differ. I think he was into you. Big time. The hypothesis fits, Tassie.
No, it doesn't. And I'm going to ruin his life. He's going to know what it feels like to be laughed at.
He had absolutely no clue what I went through. And no one in their right mind would claim his actions were motivated by love. A booming knock on the door startles us from our debate. I turn and pull open the door, finding...
Hunter?
He steps inside the room, smelling of sweat and anger, whatever scent that is.
What are you doing here?
I ask.
I've been standing out in the hallway, and I just heard everything you said.
Oh, boy. Not good. On the other hand, what do I have to be ashamed of? My feelings are just, and I've done nothing wrong.
Leave, I say, before I spank you.
Why did I say that? He ignores me and then turns to Elle.
Can you excuse us? Tassie and I need to have a little chat.
Elle bites her cheeks and pops up from her desk.
I'll go sharpen pencils in the library.
Wait, you don't have to...
She's gone before I can finish my sentence. I scowl up, up, up at Hunter's tall frame.
How dare you eavesdrop and then run her out?
Well, you, me, and my shrimp dick need a little privacy.
Little is right, I snarl.
Doubtful.
He starts reaching for the zipper of his uniform pants.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I held out my hands and closed my eyes.
Well, you're obviously obsessed with my cock, and I have nothing to hide, so here it is.
I can't help but peek, but his penis is still in his pants.
Come on, you really think I'd show it to you?
He scoffs.
Who knows what you're capable of? You're obsessed with tormenting me.
Really? What the fuck was all that you just said to your roommate?
It's called justice, Hunter, because making me lose my chance to get into the tri-cap house was the last freaking straw.
What are you talking about?
I look at him and his annoyingly vivid blue eyes.
Well, I'm not exactly out, but I will be because of you.
What did I do?
What you always do, I bark. You humiliate me and put me down, and that little display in the library on Friday was just the thing to convince them that I'm not good enough.
Because why?
They think our little hate war is a love war, me being the aggressor.
I'm not following,
he says.
They hate you. They hate alphas. They think I let you abuse me like that because I'm into you.
His gaze is empty at first, but then he breaks out into hysterical laughter.
Yeah, I fucking see that.
He gulps down some air between laughs.
Hysterical.
Well, at least someone agrees with me.
Exactly.
So, what was your plan? To torture me with shrimp dick signs so they'd see you as tri-cat material and let you in?
Maybe. Though my original plan was to get you to fall in lust with me so I could humiliate you somehow.
That makes no sense.
He's right, but...
It made sense at the time, and it's no worse than your lame scavenger hunt, which you're losing, so ha!
He takes a sudden interest in his tennis shoes.
So you heard about that?
Yes. I did. And thanks to you and those morons, I won't be getting into my sorority. My mom really wanted this for me, Hunter. But here I am, yet again, having to disappoint her. Next, I'll be listening to another speech about how I'm not living up to expectations. Because of you. Do you understand how much pain you've caused me? How much damage you've done to my life? I mean, elementary, middle school, high school. Those weren't enough for you? Now you have to ruin college, too? What did I ever do to you?
The words coming from my mouth help me realize just how crazy he makes me. It's a wound I've never overcome, which is likely the reason I've emotionally regressed back to high school. He stares down at me for a moment, his expression undecipherable. I suppose if I had to guess, I'd say he looks confused.
I gotta go.
He turns for the door.
Oh, no. You're not running away from me, mister.
I dash to the door and slide between him and the exit. I'm realizing this has to end. It's doing bad, bad things for my maturity level.
Move, Tassie.
No! Not until you say you're sorry and you promise to leave me alone from now on.
He stares down at me, and I notice the scruff along his strong jawline isn't dark like his head of shaggy, silky hair. It's more of a red-brown with black mixed in. I also notice how his bottom lip is kind of pouty and very sensual. I've never actually looked at his face before. I mean, really, really looked at it. The way his dark brows arch over those intense blue eyes, with thick, black lashes, the high cheekbones, and the slight indentation in the hollows of his cheeks, or the angular jaw. In my mind, I always saw him as that little boy with the fat cheeks who broke my heart. But now I realize how he's grown into this man with a scruffy short beard and muscles and everything. Okay, he's nice looking. So what if I never noticed? On the inside, he has nothing to offer. I suddenly realize he's sort of just standing there, looking at me too, and it shocks me like a gust of frigid winter air. He's staring at my lips, really staring. My heart suddenly kicks into high gear, and adrenaline pumps through me. I don't like it one little bit. It's awkward and uncomfortable, and my body is all hot and sexually flustered? No. No, no, no. I step to the side and look away, crossing my arms over my chest. Go. Just go, I say. From the corner of my eye, I can see him reach for the handle, but he doesn't turn it. I hear him breathing, almost an angry pant, like he wants to hit something or say something, but can't or won't. He suddenly jerks open the door and disappears, not bothering to close it, leaving me just standing there, trying to digest the weirdness that just happened. You just totally got hot for Hunter. Fuck. I hang my head and give it a shake. I think it's time I have sex. My body clearly needs it.
Chapter 8.
The next night, I dream I am a Salem witch being dragged through the town square while the crowd throws rotten cabbage and undressed Barbies at me. Yes. Strange. Possibly symbolic of my fear of emotional exposure. That or I really dislike cabbage and naked Barbies. When the torch-wielding masses tie me to a post, I notice I'm standing atop a heap of obsolete electronics, Motorola flip phones and Nokia bricks. I'm fairly sure there are a few pagers and fax machines buried underneath it all, too. Just beyond the mob, I see my parents' emotionless faces, and I scream for help, but they don't see me. Only the people with the torches want anything to do with me, and they want to watch me burn along with the other garbage that was once deemed smart and essential. They light the fire, and I yell, "Let me go! I am not obsolete!" Through the flames and smoke, I see someone fighting through the angry mob. Hunter's handsome face appears, and our eyes meet. The look in his eyes tells me he wants to save me, but the people are pushing him back, screaming at him. The fire ignites my legs as he mouths, "I'm sorry." I'm mortified to see him in so much pain. I don't want that for him. The cell phone rings on my nightstand, jarring me from my strange but horrific dream. I grab the thing and look at the caller ID. It's not a number I know, but it's 6 in the morning, and I should be getting up for my 7:30 a.m. class. "Hello?" I say, my voice all scratchy.
"Hey, Tess, it's Hunter,"
says that deep, deep voice I've come to loathe. I blink and rub my face, wondering why the hell he's calling so early.
"We need to talk," he says. "I have practice right now and then class until 2, but can we meet somewhere after?"
I scratch the top of my head. "I have chem lab until 3.
"Fine. Meet me at my dorm room at 3:15.
"What's this about?" I ask.
"Best to talk in person."
"Okay, you're being mysterious and that makes me feel uncomfortable. You're not up to anything, are you?"
"No,"
he replies. "Would you tell me if you were?"
"No, but I'm not."
Says you. "Wait,
How did you get my number?
Your mom. I called her and asked for it.
At 6 in the morning? I ask.
No, I called her the other day.
Now he's really piqued my curiosity. He'd been planning to call me? Okay, see you at 3:15. The day crawls by like a slug on crutches, and my mind can't help wondering what Hunter wants. 10 minutes before the end of chem lab, I catch myself doodling in my notebook. Revenge. Apology. Censure. These are my 3 hypotheses regarding Hunter's request to meet. He wants to subject me to some sort of public humiliation after the heckling episode, or it's finally sunk into that thick, pigskin-lined head of his that he's genuinely caused me pain. Or, he wants to yell at me again. My mind darts to that brief moment just before he left my room, the way he made my heart thump inside my chest, the sweat on my palms, the body tingles. I push the thought away, feeling more ridiculous than ever. My body is in its prime, and biology is demanding I pick up her phone call. You know, the call of procreation. Find strong male, make babies, you know you want to. That's what really happened. My brain, hardwired with millions of years of evolutionary coding, doesn't care that I'm a modern woman with aspirations. Ha. Well, lucky me, I'm smarter than my brain. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. I let out a soft groan as the professor calls it a day. The moment I stand, my stomach makes loop-de-loops, and my heart goes crazy. Holy crap. I'm nervous. Really nervous. I realize I can't go see Hunter. I don't want to. I want to run far away from him. Being outside my comfort zone makes me feel like I'm lost because I don't know what to do. And not knowing what to do will lead to failure. I'd rather die than fail, because I've got a chip on my shoulder the size of the Arctic. I take a deep breath. Whatever is going on with me, this out-of-controlness, can't be good. I'll just have to call Hunt and tell him I'm busy, or that I have the flu. Of my sanity. I throw my backpack over my shoulder and dig into my jeans pockets for my cell. I type in, "Hey, can't meet today, I'm sick." As I step outside the room and hit send, I hear a phone beep to my right in the hall. Hunter's standing there holding his phone and glaring at me. "Oh, you're here." "Damn it.
I had a feeling you'd flake."
"I'm that predictable?" I ask, kind of surprised he knows me so well.
"I figured after your little chew-out yesterday that you might get second thoughts about meeting. That, and now I know you don't trust me. Not even a little."
"You're a lot smarter than you look."
"You're funny,"
he says dryly, and jerks his head toward the exit down the hall.
"Let's go."
I stop in my tracks as chatty students flow past us. My heart is thumping like a galloping horse, and I really don't want to be alone with him.
"What?"
He practically bites off my head with his blue eyes. "Nothing. Let's just talk right here."
"What's wrong with my dorm room?"
"It's, all the way over on the other side of campus."
"So is your dorm room. You think I'm going to do something to you, don't you? Some stupid prank."
I make a noncommittal shrug. "It's not outside the realm of possibilities."
"Fine. Let's go find a bench in the common."
He heads for the exit, shaking his head, and I follow, trying not to notice the view. He's wearing soft, faded jeans that hug his muscled ass like a glove. My eyes dart to the safety of the back of his head. I don't want to drool over this guy, so I won't. Before we get to the common, Hunter spots a bench underneath a maple tree between buildings. He goes to it, sits, and jerks his head for me to come on over. There's a hard look in his eyes, and his posture is rigid. What the hell is up his ass? Now I can't help my curiosity. I waltz over and take a seat. "Okay, what do you want to say?" He doesn't speak, so I'm forced to sit there and stare, waiting for him. His handsome face is a little red, and the muscle on his square, stubble-covered jaw is ticking away. "Hunter, what's going on with you?" He glances at me, but returns to looking out at nothing straight ahead. Okay. I can't stand feeling so uncomfortable, so I get to my feet.
Wait.
He grabs my arm, so I resume sitting and stare into those eyes. Well?
I'll do it.
He says. Do what?
Be your boyfriend. I'll help you get into the tri-caps.
Oh, look. Somebody got himself another concussion. I stand up. Nice talking to you, but I'm not falling for your lame pranks. I turn to walk away, but before I know it, he's up and grabs my hand to slow me down. He steps in front of me.
Yes, you are too smart to fall for pranks, which is why I'm proposing we strike a deal. We'll pretend to go out for a few weeks. I'll play your pussy-whipped boyfriend when we're around your friends, and I'll even let you break up with me in front of them.
I don't understand. Why would he want to help me?
I heard your roommate say that you had a bet going with them. I'm going to make sure you win.
Why do you care if I win? What would you get out of it?
You know, points. You'll come over to the party next weekend and make it clear you're willing to give it up. I get the points.
He shrugs awkwardly.
It's a fair trade.
Tell the world I want to give my womanly flower to Hunter? A fair trade? Not even close. Regardless. You were way behind in the scavenger hunt, so I don't see how 10 points will help. He stares down at me for an awkward moment. What? I ask.
They increase the points.
He mumbled. For what?
Sleeping with you. Sleeping with you is 50 points. It was Henry's idea.
Oh, wow. That's not completely vile, sleazy, and immature. And such a shame that I'm not doing it, because you'd fit right in with that frat if you won. I step around him and continue walking, but he easily catches up and stands in my way again.
We don't actually have to fuck, Tass. They just need to think we did.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, I see. Because I'm not good enough for you.
There's a bitterness in his voice that I just don't get. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. You really can be a bitch sometimes.
He snarls. I shrug with a smile. Takes one to know one. Bye, bitch. I turn to head in the other direction.
Tassie, I can't afford the dorms anymore. If I don't get into the frat, I'll have to drop out.
I stop in my tracks. Mother effer. I sigh under my breath and then turn to face him with a growl. That's not fair. You know full well that I am a complete sucker for people trying to get an education. He flashes a coy, dimply smile that I'd rather not see right now, because, damn it, it's downright adorable, and I know it's the look he uses to always charm the ladies. What happened to your scholarship money? He received a full ride, according to the rumor mill.
It paid for most of my tuition, books, and $200 a month for room and board. But it's not enough, and my parents can't afford to help. So that leaves me with the option of quitting football and getting a job. But quitting football means I'd lose the entire scholarship, and I can't make enough to pay for everything.
Oh. I'd heard a rumor that his dad's construction business wasn't doing well. I guess that rumor was true. I also knew from my own experience that Hunter probably couldn't get much financial aid. His parents likely made just enough money to disqualify him. An academic scholarship was completely out of the question for him.
Please, Tassie.
I look at my pink, low-top Converse, then at him, and back to the shoes. Give me one good reason why I should help you. Because I really, really need one. Especially since I feel like a complete moron for actually wanting to help him. It's like I can't resist rescuing the stray puppy who's bitten me 1,000 times.
We'd be helping each other, he explains. I need a much cheaper place to live, and you want to get into the tri-caps.
Ah, I say, holding up my index finger. But do I want it badly enough to let everyone think you've taken my pristine chariot out for its maiden voyage?
Your chariot?
What would you like me to call it? My vaginal membrane, my cherry, my flower of purity, the winter's ribbon for my hump day race. His handsome face contorts.
Chariot works.
Great. And you're still not riding it.
I didn't ask to. It's just something we'll let people think so I get the points. In exchange, for the next few weeks, I'll dote when we're around your uptight, intellectual, elitist sorority sisters, and then you dump me. Simple.
I give it some thought. What it would mean to allow the blemish on my reputation.
Come on, Tass. You know this is the best option for us both. Please.
I look at Hunter, who has giant blue anime saucer eyes and a lower lip that's pouting for its life. No, I shake my finger at him. Not the puppy face, Hunter. He tugs on the hem of my t-shirt, his lower lip quivering.
Tassie.
Ugh, you are so juvenile. You know that, right? His face returns to its normal, annoyingly handsome perfection.
Yes, and thank you. You're making the right choice.
Wait, I didn't agree to... He leans down and plants a big, wet, closed-mouth kiss on my lips.
Hey!
I step back.
What?
He shrugs innocently.
You're my girlfriend now.
No, I'm not, and you need to... He grabs my hand tightly and starts pulling me along.
Come on, sugar rump. Let me walk you to your room.
Hunter! I dig in hard with my heels, and his hand slips from mine.
Tassie?
Hunter!
Tassie?
He warns with his voice, as if to say, don't be stupid. I see that his plan has merit, but that doesn't make this any less ridiculous. Still, I would do almost anything to avoid the mental anguish associated with letting my family down and tarnishing the Somerset pride. I give it a long, long moment of thought. None of this really matters as much as my long-term goals. And getting into that sorority, as horrible as this particular chapter is, will open doors the rest of my life. The sacrifice is worth it. Fine, I whoosh out of breath. But there needs to be rules, like no kissing, and definitely don't call me Sugar Rump.
No kissing?
He steps in close and places his large hands on his hips in such a way that pulls the fabric of his jeans tighter, making his bulge more pronounced. The guy's packing. I suddenly feel moronic for calling him a shrimp dick. Clearly, the world can see his member falls more into the category of a whale. If we are sticking to the whole sea creature analogy, he's more like Moby Dick, not Shrimp Dick.
Hey. Eyes appear, Tass.
Oh, jeez. I look up at him, pretending like that didn't just happen, but the glib expression on his face, one corner of his lips turned up, and a proud twinkle in his eyes, hints that he enjoyed my checking him out. He steps in a little closer and places his hands on my shoulders, speaking in that low, deep voice that sets off unwanted flutters in my stomach.
Tassie, how are we supposed to convince anyone that we're legit if we don't kiss?
He's got me there, I think, unable to stop from checking out those soft lips. He's staring at mine, too, and starts to lean in a little. I panic and stick out my hand. Okay, fine. The kissing is only allowed if I initiate.
You want to be in control of the kissing.
He piffs. What? It frankly makes both our stories more credible. If your bros are watching, they'll see me throwing myself at you. If my sisters are watching, they'll see you waiting patiently for whatever I'm willing to give you, since you will be my whipped man, a role you're clearly destined to play.
Whipped?
He scoffs.
That's never going to happen, but whatever. You can be in charge of kissing, even though we both know you don't know how.
Yes, I do. I totally don't. In fact, I think I just had my first kiss. Damn it. And it was Hunter? Oh, come on. No justice. There's no justice.
Do you want me to show you?
He asks in a low, quiet voice. I think he's joking at first, but he's not smiling. He's dead serious. Before I have a chance to think it through, I'm starting to open my mouth with the intention to say yes. I am curious to know what a real kiss might really feel like. But then I snap to my senses and realize who this is. Not my Prince Charming. Not the guy for me. He's my adversary. No thanks, I say. I think I'm good. He holds out his large, rough hand.
Hand-holding it is, then.
I hesitate, but take it, which makes him grin. Genuinely grin. Why is he enjoying this so much? He's supposed to hate me. Maybe he likes making me feel uncomfortable, which clearly this situation does. Stop that, I bark.
What?
His grin spreads out like a contagious disease I want to cure. Don't act like this is some giant victory and I've forgotten all about our turbulent past. His smug grin takes a dive, and his brows knit together.
So you do remember.
Hello? Who could forget you picking on them for 13 years?
No, I meant the other thing.
What other thing? He stares instead of answering.
Never mind. The past is the past for me. That's all that matters.
Okay. What's with him?
Whatever you say, Hunter.
His lips curl into a subtle smile that seems forced.
Come on, let's get this over with.
He takes my hand firmly in his and begins walking back to my dorm.
Sugar Rump.
Chapter 9.
Hunter and I spent about an hour talking about the plan in my dorm room. Yes, alone. Not as bad as I thought, though I did find myself looking at his arms a lot. He would move them when he spoke, making them flex and bulge. They were so... so... muscly. Then L showed up, and Hunter excused himself for some evening shenanigans at the Alpha House. No girls allowed. Some Cro-Magnon bonding idiocies, to be sure. After the requisite BSing with L, who absolutely knew I was up to something, but I was not about to drag her into my little plan... I updated my weekly planner. Wednesday. Tri-cap cap night. The tri-caps would raise money, selling iced cappuccinos at the concession stand just outside the stadium during the big game against San Diego State, and Hunter and I would make our first public appearance. I would make it a point to go inside the stadium during the game and wave at him from the bleachers or catcall his name. He would make goo-goo eyes at me before he disappeared into the lockers at halftime. I made it clear that I would not be initiating any kissing, but we could hug. He did not seem to care one way or another. About the not kissing, I mean. Fine by me, because I don't want to have his wet, hot tongue inside my mouth. So good. We're on the same page. Thursday night. Keg run for narcolepsy, hosted by the Alphas. So appropriate. After all, the Alphas spend most of their lives asleep and hungover. Friday night, romantic movie-thon at the Tri-Cap House. Hunter will so hate this, and I can't wait to make him sit through estrogen bombs like Titanic and The Proposal. Ramon! On the other hand, I feel exceptionally nervous. Lainey and Jessica will be watching closely, and I'm unsure if Hunter can convince them that he's insanely into me simply because I used my big brain to break the code and turn him on with my hot body and lack of intellect. Because that is the other part of all this. Me demonstrating that my hypotheses were all true. I could get Hunter to want me simply by acting and dressing easy and stupid. By the time Wednesday night finally rolls around, I've carefully run through the events in my mind and feel confident our little ruse will go off without a hitch. I've even had time to buy a few new outfits, a cute pair of red open-toed stacked heels, several extremely short skirts, and a few skimpy summer dresses that could be mistaken for 90s, and I got a light spray tan and mani-pedi with pearly pink polish. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I pampered myself or spent this much time on my appearance. So while these skimpy clothes might not be my usual fare, it kind of feels good to do something not directly related to academic advancement. I stroll up to the rented barista cart just beside the walkway leading into the stadium, wearing my uniform for the evening. short blue skirt, sandals, and the mandatory tri-cap cap shirt, which I've sexied up by cutting out the neck so it hangs over one shoulder. Before I even check in with Lainey, I notice a pack of Gamma News going inside. They're all wearing pink t-shirts and holding little black pirate flags that say, "The treasure hunt is on." Well, this ought to be interesting. Tonight, their hunt will be doing the unthinkable, giving out a little nerd love to a tri-cap. My team, however, has already been notified about the significant headway in my plot to prove brains beat brawn, and that by Friday, he'll be my alpha bitch. "Hi, Lainey," I say, as she's taking an order and passing it over to the rent-a-calf guy.
"Tassie," she replies with a venomous grin. "So, I got your message. Tonight's the big night, huh? And love the outfit, by the way. Sluts R Us having a clearance sale so the trailer park trash can afford some new hooker wear."
She turns to Jessica, who's standing behind the counter, helping the barista guy, and raises her hands for a high 10.
"Good one, Lane."
Jessica snorts and dishes two palms. I crinkle my nose at these two worthless snobs. Well, the short skirt is obviously part of my little experiment, which is working successfully, I might add. However, the last time I checked, being poor and living in a trailer park doesn't make you a prostitute, trashy, or easy. It just makes you poor. And there's no shame in that. Nor is there shame in shopping clearance. Everyone loves to save money. I sigh and turn away to grab one of the signs leaning against the cart so I can get to work promoting our fundraiser. There is, however, shame in being a stuck-up cunt, I mutter under my breath.
"Excuse me," Lainey barks.
Oops, I guess she heard me. With sign in hand, I pivot and smile.
"What?"
Lainey comes out from behind the cart counter, bellies right up and sticks her nose in mine.
"What did you just say to me?"
I laugh dismissively.
I said, "Such a shame. Look how poorly these signs are cut."
I hold mine up to demonstrate. "They're all crooked. See? Whoever did them didn't bother with the right angles. It's kind of annoying. Definitely not a good representation of the tri-caps." Lainey huffs.
"You just watch yourself, Tassie."
"Okay. Idiot." I begin walking in the other direction, planning to take out a spot over by L, closer to the parking lot, and away from these two fascist princesses.
"Hey, Tassie," Lainey barks. "We'd better see his full submission by Friday, or you're going to the reject pile where you belong."
I look over my shoulder, and I'm about to throw out a smart-ass comment that will surely seal my fate, but then I spot Hunter strutting toward me. He's got on his skin-tight white pants, carrying his helmet, and showing off one hell of a smile. Full-on dimples and everything. His bulge is an eyeful as well. Not that I notice. Much. With a smile, I watch him approach, but I'm also watching the expressions on Lainey's and Jessica's faces as he walks right by them as if they were completely invisible.
"Hey, what are you doing out here?"
I smile big and bright like I don't have a care in the world, and I'm really happy to see him. Okay, I sort of am. I mean, only because he just stopped me from telling Lainey to stick it, of course. No other reason, I tell myself. He walks right up and hugs me.
"Oh, okay, we're doing this,"
I grunt as he squeezes the bejesus out of me.
"Okay there, big man," I croak. "Go easy on the ribs."
I missed you.
He tightens his grip, smashing my body against his. He feels hard and hot. It's like being hugged by a marble statue that's been heated in the sun. I can't say I don't like it.
"Wait. Oh, jeez. Is that his bulge?"
A tingle rockets down my spine. And, lucky me, there's a reminder of my vitamin S deficiency. Sex is a corporeal nutrient, right?
"Okay, that's really enough," I whisper. "You're poking me with your thing, if you know what I mean."
"Oh, sugar rump, don't be shy. It's just my little way of saying hi to a woman I find so attractive."
He leans into me a little more.
Hunter!
I hiss, trying to squirm away without being obvious. I feel his body jiggling. The jackass is laughing.